I know this man loves garlic. It's time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us weekly at this time. And he brings with him over 40 years of experience, Wall Street, the economy, politics, and also garlic. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning. Yes, I chew garlic all day. It's great for the blood.
That's right. There you go.
That is true.
All right, and it keeps vampires away.
Yes. Those vampires.
We've got
to be careful.
We haven't had problems with vampires our whole lives, Jim.
That's right. That's Amen. All right. I hope you all are doing well, and hopefully the sun will shine again. It has a way of doing that. Let's get right to some facts. Very important for us to understand the facts of what's going on in this China trade war. The United States has levied tariffs on goods from China that are coming into this country that are being bought by U.S. corporations or company for further resale to U.S. consumers. The key to what I want to tell you, because there's a mass contradiction going on, is that the U.S. company that buys the goods from the Chinese, the U.S. company is paying a tariff, like a tax, a tariff that they're paying to the U.S. Treasury Department. The Chinese are paying nothing. Eventually, the U.S. consumer will probably see price increases from companies that have paid the tariffs, U.S. companies. They will increase taxes to improve their bottom line because they will sustain a significant hit from paying these tariffs. I hope that's clear. There's a lot of misinformation from Donald Trump, who supposedly runs the country, and who thinks the tariffs will work.
Here's the easiest way to break it down, I think, for people, and I did this for I got into a big thing on the phone. Take an automobile that's made in Japan that you buy, not an automobile that's Japanese and made in America, even though that's going to be obviously subject to tariffs too. So just take that automobile. I would say it's a $30,000 automobile, and you're buying it, and it's a Japanese made in Japan. It's a Japanese product or a Chinese product or whatever country. And then our government slaps a 15% tariff on that. So you take that $30,000 vehicle, and you add 15% to the price, and that's what you'll pay for it. So you'll pay $33,500, something like that, is what you'll pay. More than that, actually, you'll pay around $35,000. That's the easiest way. Take the base price, whatever the tariff is that we're tacking on that country. Boom, add it to the top. There you go. You're paying the price, not the company that's producing the goods, but you're paying the price. The company that's producing the goods, if they, in the beginning, will try to eat this, but the longer it goes, they won't do it because they're going to lose 15%. And that's the way it works. And it doesn't look like there's going to be an early end to this.
No, it does not look like there's an early end at all. The key to what you're saying is that these tariffs inflict financial harm on U.S. citizens. While they might slow down people buying products generally, not just from China, but generally, the key is the president is not accomplishing the goal that he set out, which is to hurt China. It's very important for us to be realistic. We buy, as consumers, a ton of products which are made in China. They get imported here by U.S. companies. This has been going on for 20 years. The U.S. consumers have bought those products because they are cheaper than U.S.-made products and cheaper than most other products of like kind coming into the country. So what is being attempted here is it's like trying to fight a raging river. People are consuming these goods. We haven't found anybody who makes them much cheaper. We're talking generally. And so to inflict a problem on our own corporations when we want to keep the economy going is quite nonsensical and very negative for the economy.
I'll just tell you right now, anybody that buys anything for their car on Amazon, like headlights, anything.
Talk about aftermarket stuff?
Aftermarket stuff. 99% of it, 99% of that cheap aftermarket stuff is made in China.
Of course.
In China. And so you will see, you know. Go on.
No. And presumably, because this is another side of it, presumably the quality of it is good. You know, just when you get into supplements, for example, and veterinary things, great word, things, you know, obviously you're completely clear of it because you don't know what's in it. You know, it's just a known issue. So,
but the interesting thing is people are going to be affected by this tariff that don't understand what a tariff is because so many people do online shopping and buy from Walmart and big box stores where a lot of the cheap, what we used to call gray products, Jim, when I was purchasing things, products not made from this country, have the same brand name and everything like that, but they're not made in this country. A lot of people are gonna find out, my goodness, that price has gone up. Why has it gone up? Then they'll realize exactly what the tariff is. The Chinese don't pay the tariff. We pay the tariff. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Who can hold out longest?
Well, the economy has already been slipping a little. I think this action is going to hurt the U.S. economy, firstly, and the world economy, secondly, because we are such major players as consumers and investors throughout the world. So in terms of its lasting, I'm afraid that the president misjudges the Chinese or Asian character. You do not insult a Chinese corporation or person in public. You will live to regret it. And that's what's going to happen. The Chinese are going to dig their heels in, and they have in their toolkit a huge, huge bazooka. Maybe we should call it a rocket or a cannon.
Yeah, we owe them tons of money.
Not only money, they own $1 trillion worth of U.S. government bonds. If they would decide to sell a quarter of a billion of those, not only would it impact the market price of our bonds and send interest rates higher, it would give a signal to the rest of the world that the Chinese are no longer going to be the consistent buyers of our bonds and therefore financiers of our economy. That could be very devastating to our economy, to possibly the world economy. So if you have a lot of your funds in risk assets, namely stocks, if you haven't by now sold and taken down your risk profile to something that's more manageable, take a look, evaluate what you own. If you're 80% stocks versus your overall investable assets, that should be lower. How much lower is up to the individual, because individuals decide how much risk they're willing to take. I'm just telling you that, in my humble opinion, the risk is humongous in terms of the stock market.
All right.
Go ahead.
Since so many products that people sort of don't connect are made there, let's talk about Apple, for example, which, you know, a ton of people own. What are you recommending around that?
Talk about what? I'm sorry, Jill.
Apple.
Apple. Apple, it's surviving at even these prices because Apple has given back $336 billion in stock and cash to its investors, so they've been holding on. That's point one. Point two, Apple's number of iPhones, the latest one that it's been selling, have been declining, probably because the price is so high versus other like products internationally. So it looks like Apple, which says it's going to depend on its service business to pick up the slack on revenues falling for the new phone, is going to have some tough sledding. I'll get to the Chinese picture in a minute.
Oh, that's Apple, what I was asking about.
The Apple iPhone.
I know that's what you're asking, but I want to give you a full banana here. The thing is, Apple. Well, let me get to the Chinese thing. Most of Apple's parts are made in and a lot of them assembled in China. Okay, the cost of the Apple is going to go up. Whether they can raise prices anymore, I don't know.
Jim, there's a release on that right now the iPhone would cost $142 more than it costs. From instead of $1,000, it would cost $1,142. And if that's a 15% raise. If Apple were to move production back to this country, it would cost 20% more.
Can I ask a question?
Well, wait a minute. Excuse me. Would you repeat that, Marshall? That's so well said.
Well, what they're saying is the price of an iPhone XS would go from $1,000 to $1,142 under the current tariff fee. If Apple were to say, okay, we don't want to pay those tariffs, and they want to move everything back to this country and produce in this country, they estimate the increase in the price of the phone would be 20% instead of 15%.
Okay, let me jump on that. The key is, you folks who don't understand world economics, you've just been given an example of what's been going on for 20, 30 years. We cannot produce as cheaply as the Chinese. That's the end of the story. It's a truth. It's economics. It's no big deal. It's not something to be prejudiced against another country for. Their workers have been working cheaper and smarter and longer than our workers. No big deal. We've become a more sophisticated economy with a lot of well-being and so forth and so on. But for you to understand things so that you don't get into your head an againstness against the Chinese because, oh, what they're doing, this is a simple law of economics. It's got nothing to do with their system of government or our system of government.
What's interesting, what the president's trying to say now is that if the Fed were to lower its interest rates, that we would win the trade war. So it's obvious the reason why Donald Trump is doing this is he thinks that he can control the Fed by doing this. It's a multi-layered thing. What I don't understand, Jim, and you can tell me, I don't mind, like if Bernie Sanders were elected, he would have tried to change our trade deals, but because he doesn't agree with NAFTA and stuff like that. But instead of just pulling out and saying no and starting a war, he would have been the type of politician. There's other politicians out there that would have tried to negotiate different changes in the treaties. I think that's where the big difference comes, where we stand right now.
Amen, amen. When you are trying to get something done with another country or another corporation, you negotiate, you sit down, you find common ground, and you work on that. You don't stamp your feet. You don't walk out of the room. You don't yell at people. You don't tell everybody they're terrible people. That's why we're going nowhere with these trade deals. NAFTA was the big thing. Oh, we have a new NAFTA now with a new moniker. It's not been approved. It's not moving forward because we did not come into concert with Mexico and Canada. We basically took them by the neck and brought them to the table. So that's out there. We dropped out of the Iran nuclear deal, where the world, ourselves included, had control over what Iran was doing in terms of developing nuclear. Well, we're losing that. In other words, those inspectors on the ground, they really don't have to give us a call, even though they do. And the allies are fed up with what we're doing.
But Jim, so, when are the Republic starting a trade war? And I'm 66, and I'm not a big I'm a big political guy on the outside with people I like and support. But what I don't understand is how the Republican Party has completely changed. They would never, ever, ever be in support of a trade war that affects big business. Never. The Republicans just would not have been in favor of it.
You said it. It can't be refuted. People are looking at one another and saying, what has happened to the Republican Party? It's like they've become ghosts. I hear, well, they're afraid of the president coming out against them. Well, I have news for them. As they get closer to the election, they're going to realize that the president is not going to be a helper to them. If you're a politician in the farm area, you're finding already that the farmers are getting fed up with this trade war. They're saying, why pick on us? China has been an incredible customer long-term for us, for instance, our soybeans. Now you force them to go to Brazil to buy more beans because they can no longer rely on us as being a solid, stable producer and exporter to them of soybeans. Now, that's the most ridiculous thing known to man. That's what this thing is doing. And the Republicans, I've hardly heard a peep from the Midwestern guys in terms of their people. The farmers are beginning to get upset. But we're ruining a portion of our economy, which was a bellwether. Who needs a product more than people to eat? And that area has been providing it to ourselves and to the world. As it is, the number of smaller farms has been declining every year. I mean, we're screwing up with our environment by not stepping in and cutting back on pollutants. Are we going to screw up on our food system by making it unprofitable for farmers to create crop to sell?
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens here, because the Democratic Party has got control of Congress, and there's a split in Congress about trade wars and about trade deals, and the Republican Party outside of the just follows the president now. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this develops, because a trade war is kind of like a strike. In the end, you might get what you were originally seeking for, but at what cost?
And that's always something that needs to be adjudicated. Yeah, for example, the Stop and Shop strike that just happened here.
It took 10 days of them losing $2 million a day to say, you know what, we're going to lose far more money if we keep doing this than if we deal with this and give in to their demands. And it happened.
One just happened to go.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you're wondering what a trade war is, just think about a strike, because each country wants something. Well, we went on strike. They mm-hmm. went on strike. It's tit for tat. That's the way you can look at this.
I would end kind of with this thought. The last time tariffs were this high was Europe versus the U.S. was just at the beginning and during the Great Depression. Okay? Safety first, folks. Get your risk portfolios down. Stop spending. Cut down on the credit card. Save more money. Stay safe in whatever you do financially and otherwise, obviously. But this is not a time to just say, well, okay, it'll be solved and so forth. It's not going to be solved in the near term. We're going to probably have to go through some kind of catharsis. Now, maybe something happens politically, that changes the characters influencing the situation. But if that doesn't happen, it's not just a long haul that we're going to... There are going to be ramifications on this after some kind of deal is stuck. One thing we're doing in this country, unfortunately, its leadership of this country, is day by day destroying the trust that our allies and people around the world have about us because they really think our government and people who run it, the president, are off the rails. Now, maybe he's off the rails because he's got so much pressure in suits and so forth. But we can't, if he can't handle the pressure, fine. But this wag-the-dog mentality of sending our fleet outside of Iran and kind of threatening them and running off to Russia to try and get Putin to say, well, okay, you can kill a couple of Iranians, that's not going to get us anywhere. Stay safe.
All right, Jim.
Stay safe.
All right, Jim.
Have a good week.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. And just a reminder that the opinions you hear expressed are those of the people who give them, not necessarily the management, staff, volunteers of Tri-State Public Communications.
Or under-